introduce. You can just list
these
them
are
together.
Both economic development
yeah.
writers.
They can be listed
so
together. In
together.
In the,
they're twins, right?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt.
Okay. So, moving on to PU 2367. As we spoke just a few minutes ago, agendas for both of these presentations are very, very similar. There's a confidentiality request, review, overview of the request, the EDR and compliance, and the ESA. If we move to even to page 3 right now, this is the confidentiality agreement we or presentation that we had a little bit ago. So to be more specific about this particular customer, again, another growth opportunity for Otter Tail and its in North Dakota and its customers. This particular customer is located in the Spiritwood area, and I'm going to look to our sales folks again to just provide a little more detail on the customer.
Thank you again, Dave. So again, walking through the highlights on this particular customer in this particular project, you can see the power requirements needed. Again, a significant amount of direct investment to the state of North Dakota is identified there. Added FTEs, and you can see a little bit of a description on the process and some of their production there. They do anticipate in service late 2023 as well, so I'll highlight that. And then you can see also the output of the facility or the anticipated output of the facility.
Any other questions on slide 4? Okay, hearing none, let's go to slide 5. Again, similar. Our request is to get approval of the ESA and rate proposed by Otter Tail and agreed to by the customer. Take service. Slide 6. In this case, we do have a CPCN for this customer, and it is similar. There's an adjacent; it's adjacent to the substation with existing capacity.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm stuck on the previous description of this project.
Sure.
Can you, Chris, confirm? They're just crushing the oil that will be transported to Dickinson for the production of the diesel, correct? The diesel production isn't happening on site.
Yes.
Okay. So the ultimate gallons of oil, that's not the soybean oil, that's the diesel. Okay.
That's the refinement that would
that's
occur.
That's refinement. Yeah. That's occurring in Dickinson.
Correct.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Let's go back to slide 6 again. Again, just to reiterate, we do have a CPCN number for this service area and would be located in Otter Tail's territory via that CPCN. Okay. Next slide, 7. Again, continuing to follow our economic development rider criteria. Customer meets all the criteria. Okay. Slide 8, we talked a little bit about that as well. Different levels of benefits for each of these customers. I'll just point that out. There's different timing of when they would start. There would be different investment levels, different rate discounts. So, but all provide benefits and accrue to customers over time. And I'll pause until you want to proceed.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Slide 9. I think I'll also ask Chris or Jesse if there's any different types of protections for this particular customer.
Yeah, I think at least for the we may get into that and some of the closed session. But, you know, generally speaking, you know, the approach on these is to use our existing commission-approved electric service agreement, so, and the structure within that. But we'll talk about some of those details later, I guess.
All right. Okay.
Slide 10 wraps it up again. Just a recap of our request for this particular customer, the proposed discount, and the ESA that we've agreed to. Are there any questions on this particular case?
Any questions for the public portion?
I don't know if this should be public. You can choose whether to answer it now or later. So when we have a rate case, and so we have the blend of recovery of your borrowing costs from various capital sources that you have, and end up with a rate of return. And now these are less and the Adam puts it above the marginal incremental cost of service, but certainly not the kind of margin that you expect on other investments. So how does that throw that off then, that here your cost of service still come out of from your capital acquisitions, but here you're not making the kinds of returns that you expect to make as a utility as a whole? So I'm just trying to figure out how that throws the equation off and whether there's the potential that it shifts higher costs to other customers than these economic development rates.
Yeah, that's a I might get into a embedded cost of service study approach. I'll see if Stuart wants to queue up any further discussion, but I'll just make a distinction on this one that we're looking at all brand new costs for this customer, and we compare it to our embedded related costs, and we get that margin piece difference, and then we allocate a portion to the customer and the other portion to the rest of the ratepayers. When we do check some of those new investments in our cost of service study, and we do cost of service study runs, and we'll look to see any other impacts. But specifically to your question about how that all fits in, I think if Stuart might have any additional pieces to add, I'd appreciate that.
Maybe it's these costs stay permanently out of rate base, right?
These costs become part of our cost to serve.
So how about, I think what he's speaking to, so there's okay. There's some incremental costs that are directly assigned to this customer. I think you were starting to speak to that in the the service agreement. So some level of the cost is directly assigned to this customer. And that customer is responsible to pay for it either directly through an advance payment or a monthly annual payment, but some amount of that is determined to assigned to be system cost. So mm-hmm. I don't know that we necessarily need that exact split out at this moment, but the majority of the cost to extend service to this customer would be directly assigned and therefore would not be added to rate base, correct?
There are certain costs that are upfront costs. If those are paid for in advance, those do not become part. But all other costs related to serving the customer, such as the energy and capacity costs, become part of our large general service class, and those costs go into that particular class. So it's not a separate off-system sort of thing. We make adjustments back into our original cost of service study for these customers, whether there's a contribution or not.
Right.
Okay.
Stuart, did you want
to? No, I mean, I think that he addressed what I was going to say. And what happens is, you know, we're making sure that the pricing and the rate is going to cover all of these incremental costs. Otherwise, you know, there's no benefit to our overall system. There's no benefit to our other customers. So we take all of these incremental pieces and we factor that into the development of this, you know, the rate that the customers are going to be paying. And you'll see it in a little bit more detail when we get into the closed session.
Okay.
That includes your authorized return. That's also baked in.
Okay. And I just want to add that it is a term discount that's only 5 years, and they're going back on the normal rate. So it's only a 5-year discount. It's not permanent.
Oh, yeah.
I'd forgotten about that. That's a good point. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Sounds like we're... Is that the last slide on this one?
That's the last slide.
Okay.
Yep.
Very good. Adam, do you have any comments to add now?
I think I'd reserve my comments for when we get into the closed session.
Okay. Is there anything you can add now, though? I think you should maybe spell out at least some of what you've identified in your memo, which is public.
Yeah. Can I see that? Okay. Yeah. I have reviewed kind of their marginal cost study and compare that to the standard, and you know they do split that benefit out between the existing customers and then the new customers, and you know we'll get into that calculation and how that does provide a system benefit in the form of covering some of the system costs as well as some of the short-term costs around the rider, you know, being adjusted every year and reducing that for existing customers, and then potentially, in so much as the dollars that are applied here, you know, above and beyond the marginal costs are paying for those fixed costs, so that you could potentially extend the point in which you would bring a rate case. Mm. So I think that is a good benefit. And Svetlana did mention that it is a 5-year commitment, and that doesn't extend out to out any further. It's not extendable.
Okay.
And then there are some protections that are built in case, let's say, this customer doesn't show up. So I think that we can get into that in the closed session. So I think that'll be important. And I think that's...
That covers it.
Yeah.
All right, good. All right, if there's anything else for the public session, I'm not seeing or hearing anything. All right, so let me get out the format here. Okay, so this meeting concerns trade secret and proprietary information. This matter may be discussed in a closed session. The legal authority for closing this meeting is North Dakota Century Code, Chapter 4404, specifically 4404.18.4. The purpose of this closed session is to discuss the trade secret information relating to these applications. At this time, a motion would be in order to discuss the case in closed session rather than in an open meeting. Is there such a motion?
Is it specific words?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I move we move into a closed session.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Sherry. Okay, I have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on the motion? Sensing none, I will take a roll call vote on the motion to have a closed session to discuss case number PU-22-322 and PU-22-367. Crisman?
Aye.
Haugenhofer?
Aye.
Fedorchak votes aye. All right, the closed session will be recorded, and all members of the commission are reminded to limit their discussion during the closed session to the announced topics. Any collective decision, commitment, or final action by the commission must occur after it reconvenes in an open meeting, unless final action is specifically required by law to be taken during the closed session. We will now ask members of the public who are attending the meeting to leave the room. We don't have any members of the public here. We anticipate adjourning the closed session, reconvening the open portion of the meeting at approximately 11. How long will this take? 15 minutes?
30. Yeah.
Well, we don't want to make it too short. I'm going to say 11:25.
Too long, we got to wait to wrap up.
Oh. I don't want to make it too long. I mean, yeah, 11:25, we'll say. That's 15 minutes. Okay. Okay, the minutes will show that the closed session began at 11:08 and was attended by, oh boy, we'll have to go through the whole list again. Julie Fedorchak.
Randy Crisman.
Adam Renfin.
Victor Shaw.
Carrie Stephenson.
Svetlana Fedji.
Dave Brazek.
Chris Waltz.
Jesse Tomford.
Robert Frank.
Brian Johnson.
Stuart Tomerdahl.
Al Kakritz.
Chris Hansen's staff.
Jeff Hoff.
Paula Foster. And we have Sherry Haugenhofer on the phone and Matt Kluzak in the room. All right, you can stop the recording and the broadcast.